injustice. Think about all the injustice that's happened to you throughout your life. From all the injustice, God is going to bring justice for you. Do you believe that? Now, with that, please understand, we're going to also do some teaching on this throughout the year. But it's important for us to go back and make things right where we've brought injustice, because God's got to make that right. And I don't know about you, but I don't want him to have to make things right for me. I want to make it right so that he doesn't have to. But the beauty of it is also that he's going to make things right for you, the injustice that's been done for you. Here's another one. Freedom from addictions and darkness in our lives. Amen? God wants that for us. He wants us to live free lives. Freedom from despair. He's going to take us from despair to praise. Why is it so important that we have a time of praise and worship up here on Sunday mornings? Because he wants us to take us from despair to praise. Now, if you come in and you don't get involved, you're going to be left in despair. Here's a good one. From debtors to mighty givers. Amen? From weeds and seedlings to become mighty oaks. That's what we're going to be in 21. Do you believe that? So we begin this year. I want you to take a moment today, and I want you to take this moment and just get really gut-wrenchingly honest. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with yourself and honest with God about this. This is a moment of clarity in our lives to say, all right, this is where I am, but that's where I want to be. So I want to give you this visual, set up this visual. Before I ask you the question, I want to set it up to give you a visual that Jeremiah gave us, all right? Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. He said, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places, in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So here's the question. You're a tree. Here's the question. How close are you planted to the stream of life? How close are you to the stream of life? How close are you planted to it? Are you right up to it? Let's pretend that there's a stream going down the middle aisle here. You've got these guys are right next to it, and then you've got people that are just a little bit farther and farther and farther away. Are you right next to it? Are you 10 feet from it? Are you 100 yards from it? Are you a mile from it? Are you 100 miles from the stream of life? Where are you planted with regards to the stream of life? Which tree is you? Take a look at this. Here's the desert tree. One, the one who trusts in man. The one who trusts that the only way we're going to survive is if Donald Trump gets back into the presidency or if Biden gets into the presidency. If you're putting your hope in either one of those people, you're in trouble. You're like this. You're scared half to death, or you're excited half to death, thinking that everything is going to be okay because your guy got in or your guy didn't get in. You're in trouble. Don't put your hope in any of that. Don't put your hope in man. Amen. Who draws strength from mere flesh. What's he talking about? He's talking about the stuff that we count on and depend on every day for us to just make it through the day, whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is what you look like when you are not planted by the stream of living water. Now, here's what it looks like when you are. Huge difference, isn't there? The one who trusts in the Lord. Who trusts in him. whose confidence is in the Lord. The one who does not fear when heat comes. When life happens, you don't have to be afraid. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's what this tree looks like. Listen, when you live in the desert, when you live away from the stream of life, when you're out there, your needs are completely different. Your thinking is completely different. Everything you desire is different. In fact, you're in survival mode when you're out there. You're just hoping that somebody will come by and pour a cup of water on you. You're hoping that somebody will come by and bring some relief to you. Life is about you just trying to survive. But when you come in here and you live by the stream of living water, everything is different. Everything is taken care of. Even if life doesn't seem to make sense, you know you're okay and all is well. You don't have to worry. You've got water coming in. You're bearing fruit. You're producing seeds so that others can grow. It's a completely different life than being out there in the parched land. To understand also that this is what we see when we see church, like a mega church, right? This is what we see. But I wonder how many of those mega churches actually look like this. Did we lose? Oh, this is what we see, right? When we look on TV and stuff. But I wonder if it looks like this in reality to God. And I don't want our church to look like that. And beautifully, we don't. But we could. And as we grow bigger, are we really going to grow stronger? Or are we just going to have more people? I'm not interested in a church full of dead people. Amen? Jesus told the religious elite, he looked at them and he said, hey guys, and these were the religious people. I mean, these were the people very involved in church. He said, you're a bunch of whitewashed, bleached tombstones. Now, if you've ever been to the Arlington Cemetery, you know what that looks like. It's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. But it's a cover-up. Right below those things is death. So once again, here's the question. You're the tree. How close to the stream are you planted? If you're worrying about everything in life so much that you're stressed, or you have to use stuff to get yourself calmed down, I understand there can be chemical deficiencies. All right, that's one thing. But if you're thinking about everything in this life and you're hoping for everything in this life to work out your way and you're hurting and you're stressed, it's a problem. And you've got to get closer to the stream. Look what he says would happen. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So here's God's plan for your life being connected to the Messiah. They will be called oaks of righteousness. Planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That is so full of purpose. God wants you to look good for him. Husbands, when you go out and your wife is looking really good, you walk with some confidence into that restaurant, don't you? You're like, yeah, she's with me. Yep. Or I like when she's gone in ahead of me because it's raining out or something. And you walk in. Yeah, I'm going to sit with her. I know all you guys want to be over here, but it's me. Come on, guys, you know that's true. You do the same thing. It's your wife. You love her. You think you've picked the best one in the world, and you probably have for you. Probably. No, I'm kidding. You've picked the best one out of, you've done it. God says, I want the world to look at my bride, the church, and see beauty, and see green leaves, and see fruit, and see everything that I want the church to know, that I love her, I've done for her, I've taken care of her, I want her to be strong and healthy. That's what God wants to see in his bride. God wants you to be giant. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to be healthy and fearless. God wants you to be beautiful. God wants you to be a display of his splendor. Now, you show me a lady that her husband does not take care of her. I'll show you somebody that's scared, somebody that's fighting, somebody that's depressed, somebody that's struggling. But you show me a lady that the husband is really taking. You understand what I'm saying? To be that, though, we've got to be close to him. For us to be the bride that's beautiful, that's taken care of, we've got to be close to him. So for me, I reached a point in my life where I realized I need to believe. Why don't I believe? Why am I struggling? Anybody ever struggled to believe for God's favor in your life? So we're going to get a little real today. It's easy to just stand up and teach and preach, but it's another thing to know, I believe. There are two reasons that I personally struggled with this concept that God wants my life to flourish and be good and wonderful. One is my own pride. Pride lied to me. My pride lied to me. My pride told me that not needing God's favor on my life was humility. God can just use and abuse me if he wants to, and I'll just live as a victim all my life, and maybe he'll pay it off in the end. It was my pride. That I could love and serve God without ever feeling his love or favor back. The truth of the matter is, I'm just not big enough to get that done. And I would wager that you're probably not big enough to get that done either. We need his favor, but it takes humility to recognize it. Jesus told a parable of what they call the persistent widow. And it says that the reason he told this parable was so that the people, it says, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. You ever wanted to give up on God coming through for you? So the story is about an unjust judge, and Jesus told this story. He says there was an unjust judge, there was a widow in town, and the widow was in conflict with somebody that was treating her wrong, that was doing her wrong, and the widow kept coming back to the unjust judge saying, please, 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 make this right. Please bring justice to me. I need you to bring justice. And, you know, it's interesting that he talked about a widow. I mean, this is somebody in the community that really needs justice to fight for her, right? And so she's by herself. She doesn't have a husband to take care of her. She goes to the courts and she says, please let justice come through for me. And he would not give her justice, but she kept coming back. And then in verse 4 it says, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, even though I could care less what God thinks or anybody in this community thinks about me as a judge, I don't care about any of that. Yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. What is he saying? My common sense would tell me I need to take care of this widow because she's a problem for me if I don't. She's persistent enough. And so Jesus goes on and he basically says, if an unjust, wicked judge can come to that kind of a resolution, don't you think God, the good judge, the just judge, the loving father, the loving judge, would come to a real conclusion for you? The Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So this woman needed favor, and she wasn't afraid to continue to ask for it over and over, waiting patiently. Pride didn't keep her away. And so often our pride keeps us from going to God saying, God, this is what's right. This is what's unjust, and I need you to fix it. I need you to take care of it. Pride says, I don't need God's favor. I'm just going to live as a victim. Maybe God will look down on me, the worm that I am, and just take care of me one day. That's pride masked in humility. And Jesus said, if an unjust judge will eventually find favor to take care of this business for this widow, how much more will God, who is just, take care of you? And here's what God's looking for. He's looking for faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, when the Son of Man comes and he's going to bring justice to everything, who stood the test of time and has faith? Faith is knowing. Knowing. Knowing that God is just. Let me ask you a question. The injustice that was done to you when you were a child, when you were a teenager, something that happened to you in your adulthood, maybe in your business, maybe in a marriage, maybe from your parents, whatever it was, the injustice that has been done to you, you know God is just. And he will bring justice to it. You got to trust him. Put your confidence in him. Get close to the stream and trust him. Your life is way more important than that. Faith is also knowing that God gives his favor. Knowing it. Even when you can't see it at the moment, God's favor is there. Just know it. And faith is knowing that God is growing you into a mighty oak. An oak of righteousness, that God is growing you, that even though it hurts, even though it's difficult, can you imagine an oak tree has to hurt as it grows? Some of you remember growing pains. Some of you are having them. Growing pains are real. But God grows you into an oak, and it may hurt, but you're growing, and you're growing strong. But for a long time in my life, I acted like I wasn't good enough for God to do anything in my life. For his favor. And without realizing it, I also acted like I didn't need it. No, don't need it. God can use and abuse me, whatever he wants to do with me. Don't need it. It wasn't humility. It was pride. I thought that attitude was healthy. It's not. You see, the reason that attitude is so wrong is because it reveals what I believe about who God is. What I believed. I was saying God's too big to care about little old me. I was saying God's too big to really love me. Believing that inadvertently, I believed that God was arrogant. I believed he was aloof, and I believed he had bigger fish to fry than to mess with me. You see, when you're talking to somebody and you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to bore you with my problems. When someone tells me that and I'm there to help them with whatever their problems are, they think that they're being humble. That's not humility. What they're telling me is you believe that I think I'm too important to stand here and listen to your problems. Don't apologize for telling me about your life. It's a privilege to help. It's a privilege to listen. It's a privilege to be there. But when you apologize for it, you're saying, I think that you think you're too important to listen to me, John. I don't want to hear that. Don't apologize for telling me about your problems in life. That's what I'm here for, to pray with you about it. People who are always apologizing for things think they're being humble for apologizing, but what they don't know is every time you apologize for something that is trivial or menial, what you're really telling that person is, listen, I know that you're such a trivial or menial person that I need to walk on eggshells around you and apologize for everything that I'm doing. If I came too close, I'm sorry for that. You understand what I'm saying? When you keep coming to God and you keep asking for forgiveness and apologizing and wimpishly coming before Him and weakly coming before Him, you're telling Him, God, I know how small and menial you are, but you got to understand, God already forgave you for your sin. Stop asking for forgiveness. He says, I'm here for you and I accept you. Come close to the water and I will feed you with life. All of your sins have been forgiven. God is so over that. He's so big. He's moved away from dealing with your sin. Now it's all about a relationship. He nailed your sin to the cross. And He says, come closer. Come in. I want you to come and get to know me. And let me flow into you. And now the question is, are you just going to come closer? Are you going to get closer to Him? James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote these beautiful words, come near to God and He will come near to you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. The context of this passage is exactly what we're talking about this year. He's talking to Christians who are living away from the stream. And what he says is this, verses 1 through 8. He says, what causes you to fight and quarrel among you? He's talking to Christians. What's causing you to fight and quarrel? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? He's talking about Christians that are living outside, away. And their desires are different than what they should be. By the river, by the stream. You desire but do not have, so you kill. He says, man, this is horrible. Your desires out there to survive cause you to kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. How many of you have been in a fighting church with seen a bunch of fighting Christians? Two of us? Three of us? Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to fight with you. You either come into the stream or figure it out. Amen? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Desert living motives. You're out away from the stream. Your desert living motives are keeping you frustrated and hurt and angry and just trying to survive. And God wants you to come in and live by the stream that you may spend your what you get on pleasures. What is he saying? He's saying when you do get something out there, you spend it on stuff that you don't need. Just your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Desert living instead of stream living. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason, he jealously longs for the Spirit he caused to dwell in us? Okay, so again, he's talking about Christians. He brought his Spirit inside of these people. And God jealously longs for that Spirit to what? Come close to the stream. But he gives more grace. He gives more grace. That's forgiveness. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud. I was proud. I was too proud to ask. I was too proud to keep asking, seeking, and knocking. But He shows favor to the humble. This is beautiful. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Come near to the stream, and the stream will flow through you. Here's what you need to know. God wants to show you favor. He wants to. What Jesus did on the cross for you granted you complete access to God's favor. What Jesus did on the cross for you granted you complete access to God's favor. And when it comes time for him to give you his favor, here's the question. Will he find faith? Are you staying at it? Some of you don't believe God or God's going to show you favor. People have gotten away with hurting you all your life. Injustice. Your life has been unfair. And you've just pridefully let it go. I'm just going to be a victim. They did that. Oh, there it is again. Just pridefully let it go. I don't need God's favor. And at this point, without realizing it, you thought you were just letting stuff go, but you've hardened your heart. And the proper response is to keep coming back to him and saying, God, here it is. I trust you to make it right. And I'm going to believe for you until it's done. And so I get my focus off of that because I give it to you. And I'm just going to live and produce fruit and be green and happy. But here it is, God. I keep bringing it back to you. I'm trusting you with it. You're going to take care of things. It's so easy when we don't do that and we just pridefully say, oh, I don't need it to be fixed. I don't need God to take care of it. It's so easy. What happens is we just end up waiting for life to get over. Oh, I can't wait for life to get over. Can't wait for this to be done. I'm done. And we harden our hearts. I declare to you today that this year, 2021, we're going to see the year of the Lord's favor. But it takes us coming close to the stream. We believe that God is just. We know that God gives favor. And we know that God is going to take care of us. So that's one of the reasons why I struggled to believe. The second reason, this isn't going to take very long. I have struggled with receiving God's favor because the only teaching I heard about it was from preachers preaching it wrong. The only people that use the word favor are the people that are asking for a favor. And when you listen to preachers with selfish motives, this teaching presents God as a giant vending machine, right? If you put in $1, you're going to get $10 out. That's what we hear. The truth is, it's more like this. God gives you talent, skills, and abilities to go out and make $10, then you bring $1 to him. It's a whole different deal, isn't it? The preachers I hear talking about it are teaching that God is raising a bunch of brats. Listen to them. That God gives his kids everything they want just because they ask him for it and believe him for it. I don't know about you, but every human being that I've ever seen with an attitude like that with their parents grows up to be a big giant brat. Amen? So that's all the world needs is a bunch of Veruca Salts, right? You remember her from the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Daddy, I want a squirrel. Daddy, I want a flying glass elevator. Daddy, I want another pony. Daddy, I want my golden ticket. I want an Oompa Loompa for myself. Daddy, I want the world. Is that the kind of people God wants his church to be filled with? Not at all. There's a child's book called Papa, Please Get Me the Moon. And this is one of the most popular books out there. It's about a father who climbs a ladder all the way to the moon because his daughter says, "Papa, I want to play with the moon." Now, notwithstanding the reality that if he did bring the moon to his daughter to play with, all of humankind would be wiped off the face of the planet of Earth, right? Because the water would just be totally messed up from the ocean. You see, good fathers, loving fathers, will just about do anything for their children just to make them laugh, just to see them smile. When my kids were little, every night I was spending time telling them stories, reading them books, and praying with them and playing with them before they went to bed for long periods of time. And I would just about do anything just to hear them laugh and see them enjoy their lives. But here's what my kids know that I would never do. I would never knowingly give them something that would hurt them. I would never feed the weed of sin in their lives. I would never do that. Now, in parts of the U.S., there's a weed called giant hogweed. Anybody ever seen the giant hogweed? Yeah, this is a serious thing. This weed can grow to more than 14 feet tall. If it's sap or whatever it is that gets on your skin, it can actually cause third-degree burns on your skin. And it can blister you and it can scar you for life. If a little bit of it gets in your eyes, it can blind you. The weed is so dangerous that the best way to treat it is to have somebody from the state come in or them to hire professionals or to help you get professionals to come in and actually deal with this weed in your yard or in your pastures. It's a horrible, horrible situation. How many of you know people that grew into weeds in their lives? You see, some people are like giant hogweeds. When they used anger, they got what they wanted. When they used envy to say, "Oh man, I want that. Look at what that person has. I want it." And they got that because they envied it. That's a problem. They grew into a weed because of that. When they were greedy, they were rewarded with whatever it was that they wanted. When they were gluttonous, they were allowed to have all that they wanted without sharing. When they were lazy, no one told them, "Get up and work." And so what happens is we grow into these giant hogweeds and we leave horrible things in our path. Burned and blistered and blind people. We need to know that while God wants to show us favor, he's never going to give us anything that will hurt us. And he's never going to feed the weeds of sin in our lives. God will never, ever feed those things. Why? Because God is a good, loving God who wants to show you favor. But here's why. God wants to show you favor because he wants to grow you into a giant oak of righteousness. That's a whole different reason than you just becoming some big giant weed. He has no interest in you being a giant hogweed. Isn't that great? So here's where we land this morning. James David, would you come? And listen, if you hear teaching that God's just going to give you everything that you want, just understand. If they're teaching you to be a giant weed, that's a problem. God wants you to grow into a giant, beautiful oak of righteousness. And we can claim God's favor on our lives and on our church because this is what Jesus came and did for us. You see, Jesus came out of the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He did a little bit of preaching in the area, but then he went immediately to his hometown, Nazareth. And this is how he began his ministry with this declaration. It says, on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. As was his custom. You guys are doing what Jesus thought was important to do. To be in church. Isn't that cool? It was his custom. He stood up to read, and Jesus announced the beginning of his ministry with these words. And what he was declaring to us was, I've come to be a blessing. I've come to show favor. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. That to me sounds like favor. Something we can ask for. Something we can keep asking for. Keep knocking. Father, give us favor. Father, heal us. Father, we need you. We need your healing. Father, we need your provision. Not so that we can become weeds and brats, so that we can become oaks of righteousness. So we can become good people. So that we can show your splendor to the world. Amen. So maybe you're like me. Maybe you've struggled to ask God for his favor and his blessings in your life because of pride. Or maybe you just were taught wrong and, man, you didn't want to have anything to do with that. But God wants to show you favor. He wants to. He wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. The Turning Point classes were beginning next Sunday. It's about healing and it's about deliverance. It's about freedom. It's all about coming closer to the stream. And here's the beauty of this, and this is a whole other part of the teaching that we'll get to, but the stream actually begins to flow from within. Isn't that awesome? It's beautiful. So how close are you to the stream today? Would you bow your heads? How close are you to the stream? Are you right next to it? Do you know that all your needs are met? Do you know that God is on the throne even when you can't see him? Are you living without fear? Or are you far away from the stream? Are you confused about where your life is headed, about what you should be focused on? Are you just hoping someone's going to speak a word of hope and faith? Or are you hoping just someone's going to come with a drink of water to save you? God wants you to just draw close to him. And here's his promise. If you do, he'll draw close to you. So just picture yourself uprooting right now and start moving towards the stream. God, I want life. I want you to flow through me, in and through me. So I come to the stream of living water today. And I want you in my life. I want to belong to you. I want your life flowing in me and through me. I want to be the blessed. I want to be the favored of God. I want the world to look and see what it looks like to belong to you. The world to see your splendor through me, through our church family. To be strong, healthy, able. Father, we pray now for your healing to just flow through this house and into the living rooms of those who are at home. God, let your presence just begin to flow. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Now, Lord, just let your living water of life just flow through us and into us. In Jesus' name, amen. God, let deliverance begin to flow. Deliverance from the things that we've used to survive. The things that help us to just live this life in a way that is half sane. God, we ask you for your sanity to come into us and your peace and joy to come into us so much that we don't need the things to keep us, to just pacify us throughout the day and night. We turn all of that over to you and we thank you for your healing. We thank you for deliverance in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.